Here goes, everybody. Here goes. The pasuk says, "V'ahavta reyacha kamocha ani Hashem."
That's not him. Somebody didn't mute himself. He makes noise. It goes to him.
So I'm going to figure out who that is, and then I'm going to mute those people.
Is that here?
Yes.
And I can't. Love your neighbor as yourself. Ani Hashem. I'm God. And then the pasuk goes on to say, the next pasuk. Keep my rules. Don't mix one species of animal with another species of animal. What on earth could be the relationship between these two things? So I want to go through three simple steps in order to understand this pasuk to begin with. So let's start here. V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, love your neighbor as yourself. So it's brought in one of the svarim the following, that there's a Mishnah that says, lo amar adam me'olam, never did a person say l'chaveiro, to his friend, no person said to his friend, Sarli hamakom, with the spacing here, she'olin b'Yerushalayim. When people would go up to Yerushalayim, no person ever felt that it was too tight. There was not enough space to sleep. That's what it says. So he says, listen, I don't understand. Why does it say techaveiro, to his friend? No person ever said, right? To whoever. I mean, I need to know that he said to his friend. So he said, listen. Listen to this language. I want to read and translate a little bit from the Sefer Imrei Yisrael. Listen to what he says. Matzinu harbe pamim b'shnei b'nei adam. A lot of times, we find with two people, when you find two people who are really similar, and think about who you know like this, right? There were two guys in yeshiva, two guys, you know, who were too similar to each other. Let's say they're in the same kind of business. Or even if he says, just their domim zelazeb amido same, they have the same mido, they're just similar. This one's soft-hearted, this one's soft, this one's difficult, this one's, they're similar. This is very often they just can't stand each other. Yeah? And that's extremely, extremely common. The people that you can't deal with are often the people that are like you, right? I mean, that's an observation that's really interesting. And one of the reasons subconsciously I think that it bothers us so much, those things, is because we have it in us. I want to tell you something important. The thing that I've noticed human beings that bothers them the most, especially teenagers, but really everybody, is hypocrisy. They just can't. You see like a guy who like looks like an old, oh, he's all super religious, whatever, and then he's rude to the waiter. I mean, it's maddening to people. And I'll tell you one reason I think it's maddening to people. Because think about what you did in the last 24 hours. Human beings are capable of doing some of the most amazingly spiritually sophisticated things, and within moments doing such terrible stuff, right? I mean, we can do such wonderful things and then we can lose our temper at people who we love. Like, it's just so crazy how we can be so good and so bad on the same day, in the same moment, in the same hour. You know, you could see it with your kid. And we know that we're filled with contradictions because people are not perfect, and lifetime is not, you know, is you don't become perfect by in a day. And I think that one of the things that drives us craziest, you know, anybody who's trying to, like, it should drive a person crazy. People feel these internal contradictions. It's very hard to be the person you want to be and know you should be and often are all the time. And so when we see hypocrisy in others, it drives us crazy. The Baal Shem Tov said, anything that you see in others and you even notice, it's because you have some of that in yourself, right? Therefore, people that can't stand each other, people need a very clean. That's what he says. And that's what he means, lo ama adam lechaveiro. But then listen to these words. No person said to his friend, I don't have enough space. Let me explain a little bit more so that we really get this. It says, when it says, v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, love your dear friend like yourself. And the rokeach, by the way, one of the Rishonim actually points out that the gematria of love your neighbor as yourself is ishto kegufo. One's wife is just like oneself. So when it's saying love your neighbor as yourself, that's your wife, right? That's your husband. That's that couple. So wait a minute. They're one. Love that person like yourself. Why? So listen to what he says. That would seem to be easy, right? It seems like it's easier to love your wife than some kid in Africa. That's not true. Sheyeshlo, right? What does it mean? It means a person who's in the same line of business and is just like you. He says, Misha ohev es ha'ish asher ein lo shum shaychus etzlo. If you love somebody that you've got nothing to do with, that's easy. Why would you hate them? But when someone is just like you, and they get on your nerves sometimes, and they're right around you all the time, he says, that's the hardest person to love. As an abstract concept, everybody loves all of you, man. But can you stand your own brother, your own neighbor? No, well, him, but you understand my brother's a jerk. Right? That's how people talk. And it's just a terrible, malady that we all have. But it's true, right? So he says, that's what it means, ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Love your neighbor, your dear friend, as yourself. Why are we loving our friend as ourselves? Because that's the hard one, right? Everybody loves, oh, that poor little baby elephant. Boy, do we love that baby, right? Oh, the killer whales. But they can't stand the person who has a mildly different political view than they do. But they love killer whales, right? Their own siblings, they can't get along without a Thanksgiving meal. But they love the spotted owl. So the answer is, it's harder. It is not easier. You are not more righteous if you love the people in Africa. We all love the people. Of course we do. They're human beings. They're sweet as sugar. But loving an actual person who sits near you in shul and smells like an egg salad sandwich, that's harder, right? I mean, that's a real life example, by the way. I mean, this is not theoretical. I've been near the tuna fish one as well. I'm sure you know that guy. Okay. So that's the first idea, right? V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha means love the people who are most similar to you. Got it? In fact, by the way, just to throw a little bit of Kabbalistic language at this, Reb Chaim Vital in the book Shar HaGilgulim, right? The Gate of Reincarnations. That's a title. That's like a solid title. That's like something that they'll use, you know, reincarnation, love, intimacy, and you, right? A beginner's class at your local outreach. Right? You know, Eshatara or something. I mean, I taught it. Right? That's how I had to title my classes. It's got in Kabbalah, reincarnation. But surprisingly, they've never, whenever they've done, no one, they're into latte and learning. No one has ever done carnation ice cream and reincarnate. Okay, whatever. We'll see if by next week every NCSY across the country has it. I'm amusing myself endlessly with this, even though mainly I see blank faces. So, da, gam da, know this, says the Arizal, through the language of Chaim Vital, writing over the teachings of the Arizal. If you find in one generation two souls that come from the same root, he says, both of them will naturally not get along, without really understanding why. They will just naturally not get along. He says, because they both are, like, spiritually, their souls are seeking to, like, nurse, you know, to drink from that root. And so they sort of are battling each other spiritually because they kind of know that they, on some level, that they're battling over the same task, and that's difficult for them. He goes on to explain in, like, Kabbalistic language something that we just explained in rational language, right? So I don't know what language speaks more to you. Frankly, I don't understand. It's very far from my life experience to talk about souls and the roots of theirs. Like, I just don't really understand what that means. But I'm reading the words, and it fits magnificently with what we just said. Okay, so you got it. Love your neighbor as yourself is an exercise in realizing that other people who are closest to you are actually, in a certain way, the greatest threat and the greatest challenge. That's the hardest people to be really, truly good with. It's brought as well from Reb Chaim Vital, a non-Kabbalistic idea. He says that when a person dies, he has to be judged on all the different mitzvahs. So they judge whether or not you picked up a lulav and did the mitzvah. You're not going to believe this, but it's based upon whether or not you picked up a lulav and did the mitzvah, right? Like, that's pretty straightforward. But how do they judge love your neighbor as yourself? Like, how do you judge that? You judge if the person has warm feelings? Is it if he gave charity? So he says that one, right, is entirely judged. Chesed, kindness, these mitzvahs are entirely based upon whether the person was good to their spouse. 100%. That defines whether or not the person was kind or not. They tell a story. a short little anecdote that I've told before. If you've only heard it 10 times from me, so then that's not enough. I mean, this is the most important one. So they say that I heard this when I was in Israel. So everyone was living in apartment buildings. So the story was told that this guy gets a knock on his door, 11 o'clock at night. He's in his pajamas. And his neighbor says, listen, do you have 5 minutes to do something kind, to do a chesed? He says, sure. Like, yeah, of course. So he said, you know, there's a woman in the building and she's having like a really hard time because for the last week in Israel, everyone sleeps in bedrooms where they can put down a tris, which means a shield. And so, you know, it's completely pitch black in the room. So it's fabulous. You could sleep, you know, in the middle of the day. It's like the middle of the night. So the problem is that if you're used to sleeping like that, then when it breaks, as soon as any light comes in at 5:30 in the morning, you're awake. So her kids are waking up early in the morning, and that's driving her crazy because she's not getting enough sleep. And like, it's really becoming a problem. And if you just have a drill, you could fix the tris, right? You could just put it back in. And he says, no problem. So he jumps up. And he says, which apartment is it? He said, oh, actually, it's your wife and it's your kid's bedroom and she's been asking you for 2 weeks, right? In other words, when it was a kindness for the neighbor, so we all jump up and we go to do it. But like when it's our own family, it's suddenly like, oh my gosh, what happened? Are you a kind person? So it's easy to like stoke our ego and feel good by going to help this one here and this one there. But like, are we actually becoming kind? I don't know. Do you have a good friend who you're not speaking to all of a sudden because of some stupid thing and you won't just swallow your pride and say, hey? So then what do you mean you're a kind person? Because you cry at movies? That's what you think it means? Because when you see the UNICEF thing on the, you know, airplane, I don't know who's old enough to remember that. You would put your change in, you know, like you put the 35 cents, right? Which, by the way, is apparently enough to feed starving kids for like 2 months. So like, I feel like I could just like in a few hours feed them all for like 2 years, like 30 cents a month? Like, I don't understand how they're doing it. And why is day school tuition so expensive? Well, listen, I mean, here's the punchline of this Dvar Torah, right? Love your neighbor as yourself is defined at how much did you become a kind enough person to deal with others, to accept others, to not be self-centered. And that is most defined by who you are in reality. Therefore, in your own house, you're yourself. You're yourself. If you're not perfect, then that's going to have to come out in your home. So let me explain. A human being who is not yet perfect, if you marry someone who's not perfect, when they're dating you, they're not likely to completely lose their temper because they're human. And we don't do that, but right when we're dating, when we're trying to make a good impression. But when you're actually yourself, imagine if at home you had to act like you're always in a job interview. I expect tip-top behavior. So that's called an abusive environment usually. Right? A person who, like, kids who never misbehave at home misbehave terribly at school. Every time there's a kid who terribly misbehaves and they come to parent-teacher conferences, right? The parent's like, I don't understand. He's an angel at home. That's a sign that there might be an abusive home. You can threaten a wife or a kid or even a husband into, like, you better, and then they'll be quiet. Oh, what a well-behaved kid. No. They're not a healthy kid. A healthy kid sometimes misbehaves, right? A healthy person is sometimes not grumpy and not themselves. And that's what you need to expect in another person. Therefore, who you really are in terms of being kind is going to be when you're at home, right? When you're with your spouse, because that's who you actually are. Therefore, if you're dating someone, if you're married someone and they're not perfect, fantastic. If you're at the early stages of dating and they're already exhibiting horrible behavior, run. I don't care if they have to make a good living or, right, or anything else. Run like the plague. Because you have no idea what's about to come your way when you actually get to know the person. And it's not bait and switch. We're all like that. We're all like that. We all fix our tie. You know, we get ourselves into the best emotional and physical state we can. But you can't do that all the time. You can't always be that way. So now here's the final thing. What does this have to do? All this Torah about love your neighbor as yourself and relating to others and making space for them. What does this have to do with not mixing two species of animals together, says the Or HaChaim. Nira, I think that this is the reason. He says, because love your neighbor as yourself means God wants things unified. He wants people to get along. He wants them to share with each other. He wants them to eat in each other's homes, right? He wants them to connect. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to be unified and together. And you might think, therefore, that boundaries are always a failure. Why not mix a lion and a tiger together? Hashem says, no, I want you to remember there's something magnificent about a lion, and I want you to remember there's something magnificent about a tiger, and I don't want Jewish people to be busy mixing those things together. You shouldn't be mixing those animals together because every species should have demarcated lines, right? this is a big challenge today. The understanding that diversity by definition requires people to maintain fidelity to their religions and their traditions is very hard for people to understand. If I celebrate diversity, that means I can't go to your Christmas party. Because if I take an apple tree and I mix it with an orange tree, it's not an apple tree anymore. So I love you. And I respect that you have another way of doing things. But if I'm going to be faithful to who I actually am, then I can't celebrate a different thing. Right? That's a very hard one. That's the balance. How do you maintain your own identity while at the same time connecting the individual and the community? How do you stay as yourself, but also be in a marriage, as a couple, but also be in a community, as a family, but also be in a world? That's not simple. That's what the Torah is saying. You always have to balance these. As much as we have to love others, we also have to always maintain our identity and know who we are and who they are, and that there are lines and there are spaces. I'll give you a practical example that is so relevant for right now. People who are living with a spouse now will understand that, there are different needs for human beings. And one of them is territory. One of the basic needs of animals and humans, right? People need food, people need love, people need water, right? Another thing is territory, to have space that is your own space. Now, that can be very hard. People that are stuck in a one-bedroom apartment, right? With a spouse and a child, and normally you go out, you have your, right? But people need, and that's also true about emotional space. That means if someone's always looking over your shoulder and always hacking into your email, right? And like, you can't have a password on something and you can't have any privacy to it, that is very, very suffocating. There needs to be a place where we're each individual people and then we come together. And therefore, in general, for a person to have the space to shut a door and have time to themselves, that's actually their own, for whatever reason, they're not ignoring the family, there needs to be this balance of both together and I'm an individual. And that's so fundamentally critical to like mental health and other things. It's worth getting up early in the morning and having a cup of coffee and watching the sunrise and going for a walk by yourself, if that's what it takes, because the rest of the day is nonstop, the kids and work and everything else. It's a critical and basic need for a person to have what's, that kind of territory, that kind. In Egypt, it says that the Jewish people, halachats, that the Egyptians were pressuring the Jewish people. And some of the commentaries say that the halachats means that they were just packed in too densely into Goshen. Not having space was absolutely terrible. Some space is necessary. So we need to figure out creative ways to allow a wife, people to have some space to themselves, some time, space, emotional space. That's very critical. It says that on the first of Adar, they would announce about the shkalim. That's why we give the half shekel before Purim, right? They would announce about the mitzvah of half shekel and about kilayim. They would announce about the, not to plant different species together, not to mix different animals, that type of thing. So what is that? So, I heard once that... a Rebbe of mine once said that because on the first of Adar, when they're gathering that money for the half shekels, we know, first of all, that each half shekel is like sending the message that no person is complete without the community. But also that money would go together for all the korbanot that were brought on behalf of the community. That's what that money was for. It was the communal fund to offer daily sacrifice on behalf of korbanos tzibur. And therefore, on the day that you bring everyone together in a common thing, you also have to announce that as much as we connect to one another as a critical part of who we are, we also have to remember that things need to stay themselves. People need to maintain their own identity. Each species stays in its own place, and each person remains themselves. As much as we connect and we benefit from that connection and we love that connection and it's everything to us, but nevertheless, you still have to be yourself. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. So you're still loving yourself and you're still caring for yourself and you're still paying attention to who you are. If you can love yourself, then you can love your neighbor. If you can appreciate your own identity without giving that up, that's a very, very healthy thing. That's a very, very valuable thing. And so that's what I wanted to share about the relationship between these psukim. And I think it has a very clear and relevant message to now, that people should really strive, if you can, to maintain, either it's for you or for your spouse. Some people will need it more often and some people will need it less often, but that they should be able, if you're really trapped at home with the same people all the time, there should be an opportunity for a person to have some space, some time to themselves, some time.